We have different kind of stresses, and we can approach God with all of those things because God is concerned about all aspects of our lives. Am I correct? Yes. And we can also approach God about our spiritual health because we will always want to grow spiritually. So we want to approach God also about those things. Now, what is prayer? Last week, we looked on some aspects of how we could define prayer, what prayer could be. And we saw where prayer could be described as a beseeching. And we saw that this beseeching meant you have something on your mind, something on your heart, something on your soul. You want to pour it out to God. You're begging him to intervene. Am I right, church? Yes. You want him to intervene in this matter for you because it's a pressing matter. And we saw we approach God because we know that God is the only one who can intervene in our situations. I even gave you the illustration. If you go to the doctor and you have a particular ailment, you don't beseech other patients, you know. You beseech the doctor and the nurse because they have the power to heal you. They have the power to grant you. If you are very ill and you go to the doctor, I told you my situation when I got very ill and I ran to the Duane Park Clinic. Well, drove down there, but it is. And I didn't go to the patient and say, I need your help right now, I need your help. No, I go to the doctor and the nurse because they are the ones capable of helping me. So we go to God because we know that God is capable of helping us. So we saw last week where prayer is a beseeching. We also saw last week that prayer is both a privilege and a command. And we went to the different passages. And I went to passages like Philippians 4:6, Romans 12:12, Ephesians 6:18, the supplication, prayer of supplication, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 16. We went to those passages last week. Now, this can affect our faith. Listen to me very, very carefully. This can affect our faith. If we don't know or we don't believe that God answers our prayers, then it could affect our faith. And it can get us very weak. So we have to be very careful of that. So the essence of this lesson, church, is that God does answer our prayers. God, thank you for the amen, sister. God does answer our prayers. He does. But if we pray to God and we feel that we have not received an answer, then our faith, we can get very weak. So if we are very sick and we pray to God all the time about the sickness, and we find that the sickness is not going away, it's like it's getting worse, then our faith can be affected. So we have to understand, how does God answer our prayers? This is really, you know, this can affect us as Christians. He does answer our prayers. And how do we know that? Turn to passage for me. I need the readers now, quick. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. And John 14, I believe it's verse 13 or 15 I want. I'm not sure of the verse I want in this one. But turn quickly to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. Let me hear what that passage says. Read that passage for me.
And whatsoever we ask,
yes,
we receive of him,
mm-hmm,
because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Read it again for me, brother.
And whatsoever we ask, mm-hmm, we receive of him.
Yes.
Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Whatever you ask, it's a promise from God, you know. It's a promise from God that he will indeed answer our prayers. We have that assurance that he will indeed answer our prayers. But it also has a condition there. What else will he say, Brother Fisher? He says, read another aspect of it for me.
That 23?
Yes, read it again for me.
Starting from 22.
Starting from 22, yes.
And whatsoever we ask, mm-hmm, we receive of him.
Yes.
Because we keep his commandments.
Because we do what?
Keep his commandments.
Keep his commandments. Continue.
And do those things.
And do those things.
That are pleasing in his sight.
That are pleasing in his sight. Stop. So once we know we are Christians, we will fail, yes. But we know that in essence, we are keeping his what? Commandments and doing what he wants. Then whatever we ask of him, depending if it is in his will, let me add that part to it quickly, it must agree with God's will. So whenever we ask of him, and the principle of what we are asking for, it does not go against his will, then he will grant it unto us. That's what his promise is. Now let me hear Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. What does it say? Matthew 7 verse 7.
Ask.
Yes.
And it shall be given you.
Yes.
Seek.
Yes.
And ye shall find.
Do you believe that? Stop there. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Prayer is a powerful tool, you know. Powerful tool. We mustn't ask in doubt. We mustn't ask and waver. We mustn't ask. And then sometimes you might say, okay, I am sick, so sick, and I'm always asking God to help me, and I'm still sick. Could you imagine if you could get worse? Could you imagine that your life could be taken, but you are still here, and you are still blessed, and you are still able to hear the word of God preached, and you are still able to do better every day spiritually? So although you are sick, and you may say to yourself, God hasn't answered. He has answered you, you know. He may say to you that I'm giving you the strength to bear this illness so you can be a testimony to other people. Are you following me here? So it has been answered. So God has promised, and he will never go against his promise. You must believe that. You must make Satan put into your mind, no, God not hearing you. He is hearing you. He's listening to you. And he's answering you. You must believe that. With all your heart and soul and mind, you must believe in God's promises. I am not talking to you in an academic way. Because I have gone through it, Brother B. I've gone through it many times in different ways. Financial, career, health-wise, family challenges. Some of you know the challenges that I've been under. But I pray, same way, pray, and God has still brought us through to this point. He is an awesome God who we serve, really. We serve him. He's there for us. He's there for us. Let me hear now John chapter 14 and verse 13. What does it say?
John chapter.
St. John 14 and verse 13.
And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
14.
If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
I will do it. That's how you approach prayer now. You approach prayer. And I said I didn't take up the offer that Brother B was giving. Why? Do I want to walk around? Yes. Sorry, Brother B, you were right. I don't want to walk around. Yes. That's what he has promised here. Do you believe in God's promises? That's how you build your faith in a church. Because he's saying here, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name. That will I do. In my name, no. Listen carefully now. When he says in my name, it means it must agree with his authority. So you can't be a Christian and ask God that you want to win the lotto. Are you following me now? Or you're working at the workplace and you want better skill how to steal from your employer. He's not going to answer those kinds of prayer. So the whatsoever they are carrying is conditioned by his will. So he said, in my name. So you can't do something, you can't ask for anything that goes against God's will. He's not going to grant that. You ask for whatever in his will. No, a lot of us know too, when we ask God for things, we are asking him a lot of material things, Brother Cunningham. When we ask for God, go to prayer. About sometime 99% of the things are material, the human condition. God is watching us now. God wants us to also ask him for spiritual things, Brother Pierre. Am I right? Yes. He wants us to ask him for, how can I best help in the church, in the work of the church? How can I improve in my prayer life? How can I improve in my faith? He wants us to ask him for those things also, not just for health and food and money and clothes and family. He wants us to ask him also to improve in our spiritual lives. So when we ask in prayer, we must also ask him for those things. That is in his will. So whatever you ask, he will grant it to you. Believe in him. Don't make your faith get weak because you're experiencing things that you're asking for. You believe that he has not given it to you. He has answered your prayers. He has said he will. And he has answered your prayers and will continue to answer your prayers, but sometimes not in the way you want it. No. So we have the promise that he will answer the prayers. He does not always say yes. I want that soaking it up. He does not always say yes. Sometimes he will say no. You have children, you know. I see you with a little boy in here right now. And I saw him this morning that you took him outside when he was making up some noise. Am I right, Judy? Yes. And sometimes a parent, you have to say to the child, what? No. And when they say no to them, you know, they don't understand, you know, they get into a tantrum. Am I right, Sister Judy? Because you said no. But you know what is best for the child. You do what is best for the child. And you says no. You have still answered the child, you know. You have still responded to the child. It's not all the time you must say yes to your children. You spoil your children. You don't give them everything they want all the time. I have seen that. I am a teacher, as you know. And in my profession, I have seen some teenagers. Trust me, church. You call that spoiled. To make a mess, that's spoiler. Spoiler. They are so used to getting what they want all the time that when they come to the classrooms now, they give the teachers problem. I've heard of one brother church where a mother came to the consultation. You know, sometimes they have what they call parent-teacher consultation. A child was spoiled to the point now where you're going to be shocked. The parent and the teacher and the child are in the consultation, and you know that the boy slapped his mother. That's the brother. Slapped his mother in her face in front of everyone. I didn't see it. I was told it. Why? And they will say, why the child? But if you study the history, 90% of that time, that child got everything that they wanted. So the time where you're going to tell them no is a problem. Are you following me? So it's the same thing here now. God knows what is best for us. So sometimes he will tell us no. It's not all the time we're going to get a yes. Sometimes we'll get a no. I'm going to give you a case study next week of somebody who you know very well in the Bible, David. And I'm going to show you when David got a no from God, what happened. And Brother Pierre, I remember I preached that lesson at a funeral, my first funeral here that I preached. I preached about that story about David and how he got that no from God. It was really traumatic for David. But next week I'll share that story with you. So sometimes God says yes, sometimes he will say no. But it's the same way that we respond to our children. Sometimes we will tell our children no, because we know what is best for them. We know that they are going towards danger. So we say to them, no, right? No. And sometimes, no, God will say yes. But there are situations, no, when he says yes, he will give us everything that we had asked for, right? Because it is good for us. He will give it to us. And it is in harmony with his will. So he will grant us that prayer. So he says yes, and he gives us everything that we wanted. And we are very glad and happy for it. So if we ask him for spiritual growth, we ask him for material blessings, he will give it to us because it is good for us and it must be in harmony with his what? With his will. Don't forget that. In harmony with his will. Sometimes he will say yes to us, but it is because we kept on insisting on it. Now we're going to go to the Bible for that. Sometimes he will say yes to us. He didn't want to say yes to them because we're insisting on it. Sometimes we do it to as parents as well, you know, to teach a child a lesson. Sometimes the child keep on saying, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, I want this, I want this. And you say, well, you want it now? Well, okay, I'm going to give it to you. Haven't you done that before? And then they realize, though, that what they get is not what they wanted, you know? So sometimes God will do that to us, his children. We will say, God, God, I want this. I really want it. I want it. I want it. I say, okay, if you want it, I can give it to you. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 to 9. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4 through to verse 9. And let me hear what that passage of scripture says. Found it?
Yes, yes.
1 Samuel 8, from verse 4 to 9.
Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah,
mm-hmm.
and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.
No, stop. No, this is very important passage. And this is telling us, be careful your attitude towards God when you're praying to him. Be careful of your attitude to God when you're praying to him. Don't be stubborn and fighting against what he is saying to you. And whatever you want, you must get it. Because what you find happening here in our church, Israel was looking around and they realized that the judge that they had at the time wasn't behaving right. Just because they might be said they are justified, but no, the judge that they had wasn't behaving right. And they look around and they saw that the other nations had kings, Sister Mattison. So they want king too. And they bother and they bother and they bother poor. They want king. And they go to Samuel, we want king. So Samuel prayed unto the Lord. That's in verse 6. He prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, all right, they want king, give them king. And you know what happened to the church is when they started having kings. Give them king. Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto you. Now, in some of the things, now, give them everything that they want. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected who? Me, that I should not reign over them. Now, you realize now they got what they want because they insisted on it. Be careful, church. Be careful in your prayer request. When you realize that it may not be in harmony with God's will, but you keep on insisting on it, God will give it to you. Not in his pleasure, no, you know, but in his what? Displeasure. He will give it to you. and it's not going to be very good for you. So even in our prayers now, we have to be careful what we pray for and what we are insisting on in our prayers. Very, very careful of that as well. Now, so we have seen that he says yes. He gives you everything that you want. Sometimes he says yes because you are the one insisting on it, you know. So he says, okay, I'll give it to you. Sometimes you say yes, but he does not give us exactly what we ask for. He says yes, you know, but he doesn't give us exactly what we ask for. Turn to Luke chapter 22 for me, verse 42 and 43. Luke 22, 42 and 43.
Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me.
Yes.
Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground.
Stop right there for me. No, Jesus prayed that the cup might be removed, but it was not God's will. Can we comment on this all the time around communion table? It was not God's will that the cup be what? Be removed. Although Christ is Son, you know, he's a Son, you know, praying to God, his Father, asking God, his Father, to take the cup away from him. But it was not God's will that that be done. So God answered him, but not exactly the way he wanted. Let us look in the passage. If this was a Wednesday night Bible study, I would ask you, the teacher is a mystery, you know. I would ask you, what phrase here tell you that God answered him? Let's look again at verse 43. Verse 43 tells us that God answered him, Karen. Read verse 43 again for me, Brother Fisher.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him.
I can't ask back. In verse 43 says, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, taking the cup away from him. Did it say that? Did it say the angel took the cup away from him?
No.
What did the angel do to him?
Strengthen him.
All right, good. So although God, Christ asked for the cup to be removed, the cup was not removed, but God gave him the strength to go through it. How can that be applied to you? You're in a particular human condition, and you are having problem with sons, daughters, wife, children, work colleagues. You're having sickness and it rocking your body with pain and all kind of things. And you go to God asking God to remove it. What you ask God to do? Remove it. But God did not remove it. But God has given you the what? The strength to bear it. Because you don't know, you know. If you don't know if it is removed, you may become even faithless. Because some people can't deal with blessings, you know. When some people get blessings, you know, they leave the church, you know that. Yes, they get good job now, they outgrow the church. You have seen that, you know. Grow the church, I'm independent now of God. So God now give you that. Let you get that ailment now. He strengthens you in that ailment and he strengthens your faith because he's strengthening you. He has not removed it, but he has strengthened you. He has not removed it. Give you the strength to bear it. Let us say, this is one situation here. Let's look at another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm watching my time now. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verse 7 through to verse 9 of this passage of scripture. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through to verse 9. What does it say?
And lest I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Mm-hmm. 10.
Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Stop. That's the Christian paradox. I call it the Christian paradox. When we are weak, we are strong. You ever hear that before? You ever heard that before, Brother Fisher? When we are weak, Brother Peart, we are strong. You call it the Christian paradox, you know? The man in the world, when he looks at us, he can't understand how we got through so much things and don't fall apart. Because when we are weak, we are strong. There has never come an experience in my life, and I've had many, right? Where I feel weak, the human condition, you say, oh, man, I'm weak. But we are strong at the same time because God is with us, strengthening us. Just like all the angels strengthen Christ, God is strengthening Paul here. Paul had an ailment, you know? Just like all we have ailment and sickness. The ailment was so bad that Paul, I remember Paul could heal lots of people, you know, even in the time of healing, you know, even in the time of superhuman healing. When God gave them superpowers to heal people, Paul himself had his own sickness and could not heal himself. And Paul approached God 3 times. That means there is something on him hard, Sister Marty. So he approached God 3 times about it. And the answer was that you're going to stay with it because you're now going to get stronger in your faith because of this. So that's why Paul know. In the conclusion of Paul, in verse 10 now, everybody look at verse 10 in your Bible for me. Everybody turn to verse 10 here now. Verse 10 now is a connecting word. I really want this lesson to help us, you know. Because it says here now, therefore, because I now understand the situation of how God will work with my weakness to get me even strong in my weakness. He said, therefore, because of this reason now, I'm not going to look on sickness and weakness in a negative way anymore, Brother Peart. Or problems in my work or my family in that negative way anymore. That will drain me. He said, therefore, I take what now? Pleasure. I take pleasure in infirmities. How can you take pleasure in infirmities? The man in the world don't understand that and will never understand that. Brother Mitchell always says, you know, that is when I come into the assembly. I think he mentioned that last week in his sermon. If it's not last week, it's the week before. It's when the man in the world cannot understand certain things about us. Only we can understand it. Only when we come into the assembly, we understand what we relate to certain things in a different way. Because he's saying, you know, how can you take pleasure, Paul? He's taking pleasure. Listen to all these things, church. Infirmities. The pleasure in infirmities. He's taking pleasure in reproaches. He's taking pleasure. These are not positive things, you know. He's taking pleasure in necessities. He's taking pleasure in persecutions. He's taking pleasure in distresses. But he's taking pleasure in them for who? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Please write this passage down. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the entire verse from about verse 8 to about verse 10. But especially verse 10. Because verse 10 is going to let you Verse 10 is going to give you a revolution in your mind, in your attitude towards the problems that you face. It's going to give you that revolution. It's going to refresh your spirit and let you know that, yes, God is answering me. But he said that there's nobody as strong. I'm going to give you that strength, Sister Marty, to bear that problem. I'm going to give you that strength, Brother Gilbert, to go through that. That you are going to be a witness now. When people see that, how you got through that? You're not going to say, it's because I am strong, you know. You're going to say, it's because God keep me and God make me go through that. God give me the strength to go through that. Yes. What a wonderful God we serve. He cleansed us from all our sins as the Lamb of God. At the same time, he's cleansing us of our sin every day. At the same time, all our human conditions, he's dealing with it. He's dealing with all our human conditions. And even when he does not remove it, he gives up the strength to bear it so that we can be a witness for him to the world. It has a purpose. Our suffering has a purpose. It has a purpose. Look at it from that standpoint, and your faith will grow. I have to stop here. Thank you very much. Take care, everyone.